Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Heart and Soul, Reflections on Purpose, Passion, and Perseverance. I'm Jory Fisher, your host, and joining me today, September 22nd, 2010, is my friend and co-host, Beth Scanzani, as well as our most imaginative guest, Tamara Kleinberg. Beth and Tamara, how are you all doing today?
Wonderful. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Oh, absolutely doing great. Thank you. And Beth?
I'm fabulous, and I'm just realizing it's fall. I cannot believe that summer has just whoosh, and we're beginning the fall. It's amazing. Amazing how that happens, isn't it? Over and over and over again.
Thankfully. And so, yeah, that was yesterday. That was our first day, right?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, anyway, I'd like to extend an especially warm welcome to those of you who are listening to Heart and Soul for the first time. If you enjoy our show today, we certainly hope you do. We hope you'll consider marking Heart and Soul a favorite by just clicking on the little red heart on our Blog Talk Radio show page. So, Tamara, would you like to say a few words about what we'll be discussing today?
Yeah, I would love to. We are going to ignite some innovative thought. We are going to challenge, I think, all of us to unleash our creative potential, which we all have inside of us. We just sometimes stuff it into a drawer, so we're going to pull it back out. We're going to see and create more ideas and opportunities, and I think kind of most importantly, we're going to learn about how kind of creativity and imagination leads to more fun and joy in work and life, which is what I think we all deserve.
That sounds terrific. Well, thank you. Great. Well, tell you what, Beth, before we launch into tomorrow's introduction and interview, would you please give everybody the context and format for our show?
Absolutely. And I've got to say, I'm really excited about today's show. I think mine is in a drawer someplace, or at least,
at least pull it out.
It is more often than I'd like to admit. And I have wonderful creativity. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. So our vision, Jory and my vision for Heart and Soul when we created this back in March, was to have a place where you can come and be inspired, be encouraged, and also be supported by people who are making a meaningful difference in their own lives, but also in the lives of others. And we also want this to be a place where you can come and you can get insight, ahas, new information, new connections, insight into your own life purpose and how you can express that unique life purpose to the fullest. So our motivation when we originally created the show was from Jory and my work together in the True Purpose community, where we have both explored our own life purposes. And part of our purpose is to help people discover who they are and how they're meant to use their gifts and talents in the world. And so here we are, being very purposeful. And we're
with
glad
somebody
that you're
who
with
knows
us.
How to use her gifts and talents in the world, that's for sure.
Exactly. And you know, we love doing this. We have fun. And we hope that you get a lot out of it as well. And you can participate in a number of ways. You can listen to the show live by calling 347-326-9296. That's 347-326-9296 at noon Eastern Time, each and every Wednesday. You can listen live online, or you can go to any of the on-demand shows. And you do that by going to www.blogtalkradio. That's B-L-O-G, talk radio. And then just type Jory Fisher in the search box and click on the show that you want to hear. So today, during tomorrow's interview, I'm going to monitor the chat room and the phones to see if there are any questions or comments that you'd like us to share with Tamara or ask us. And then as we close the interview, we'll also give you a sneak preview of next week's Heart and Soul. Jory, I'm going to toss it back to you. Is there anything you'd like to add?
That's great. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Well, just a quick introduction of Beth and me. Beth is a life, leadership, true purpose, and dream coach from Rockport, Massachusetts, and I'm a life, career management, and truth purpose coach from Lynchburg, Virginia. You may email Beth at BethGanzani, S-C-A-N-Z-A-N-I, BethGanzani@AOL.com, or you may contact me through my website, WomenFindPurpose.com. So enough about us. Now it's my special privilege to introduce you to Tamara Kleinberg from Denver, Colorado. Tamara is a speaker, published author, idea tinkerer, mother of two boys, and dog lover. She is the chief imaginator of Imaginables, serving up tools, apparel, speaking sessions, and workshops dedicated to helping individuals and organizations unleash their imaginative superpowers and unlock their creative potential. That's a mouthful. She is the creator of the sought-after 7 Building Blocks to Imaginative Thinking, a toolkit based on the habits of the great imaginators of our time, like Da Vinci, Einstein, Disney, and more. For the past 17 years, she's given speeches and led sessions about thinking innovatively and acting imaginatively. Tamara has lent her innovative knack to international brands such as General Mills, Clorox, and Procter & Gamble. Tamara uses her slightly quirky and inspirational abilities to inspire people to action. So Tamara, did I cover most of it? Is there anything you'd like to add to that introduction?
I think that says so much. I mean, wow, I feel like I should up my fees after hearing that.
That was
fantastic.
Well, I was thinking you might want to meet this person. She's pretty amazing.
Right, I don't know who she is, but I like her.
Well, we'd love to get to know your story a little bit before you even start to tell us how we can expand our imagination. And so I know you were in the corporate world for quite some time, and I know you tell stories of what it's like when you climb the ladder and what you find at the top isn't necessarily what you were hoping to find. So would you please share a little bit about that with us? What is your story?
Yeah, I love sharing this story because I think it is kind of familiar and simple all at the same time. And I, like many people, was climbing the ladder. You know, when we look at our ladder, we're so busy, you know, looking up at that next rung and trying to get to the top that we kind of forget to look around us. And that's kind of what happened to me. I've spent 18 years in corporate America, and most of that was in consulting. And I was lucky enough to have a lot of that in innovation, which is my sweet spot and my love, is kind of new ideas and new thinking. But, you know, I climbed up really, really fast, which sounds great. So if this were a business show for corporate America, you know, and how to get to success, that would probably be a positive. But I got to the top, and I saw two things I'd never seen before. It kind of shocked me and threw me off my game quite a bit. And the first one was, you know, when I looked around, I looked at all these people, and, you know, we were making jokes about our creative side being stuffed into a drawer. And that's what I saw. I saw I'd done it to myself. Suddenly I was this robot who was not, you know, who I am. You know, the people around me, we lost that ability to think imaginatively. Like, that side of us no longer existed. And this was across the board with everybody. And, you know, I'm much more interested in, I think, you know, people than I am products, which is how I got into innovation to begin with. And I'm looking around, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, all of us have this side that we've either ignored or we've just straight up murdered. I have this joke about it being a murder mystery because we've all lost it. Wow. And that scared me a little bit. And then I finally took a second to actually look at the wall that my ladder was on. I was so focused on the ladder, I forgot to look at the actual wall it was leaning against. My ladder was on the wrong wall. Oops. Big mistake. So I got to the top, looked around, thought, oh my gosh, we're killing our creative side. This is horrible. And oh no, my ladder's on the wrong wall. I've spent 17 years climbing with great intention for something I don't want.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of that not want was, wait, hold on here. I am traveling every week. I am working 15, you know, to 20 hours a day, literally. I'm not sleeping. I'm stressed out. You know, I'm being asked to be president of this company, which sounds great, except for the fact that when I was approached with that offer, I cringed. And I said, hold on. You know, we all have that gut that we ignore sometimes.
Right.
I listened.
Right. Couldn't ignore it.
So, no, I could not ignore it. So I got into my best football Heisman. I jumped off and I ran. another wall. But, you know, I think sometimes, and it sounds like, oh, gosh, Tamar, did you just wait, you know, waste 17 years climbing up this ladder to realize it was wrong? Yes and no. Yeah, I spent 17 years. My ladder was on the wrong wall. But at the same time, had I not done that, I wouldn't have been able to blaze new paths. And that's where I am today, is blazing new paths. And I found a wall that is great. But, you know, we often do that to ourselves. We get so busy looking at the next rung up the ladder. We see these great salaries, these great jobs, this great life. And then you get there, and it's not what you thought because we didn't kind of lean back from our ladder and look at the bigger picture. And that's what I needed to do.
Is it fair to say you felt off purpose, to use Beth and my purpose language here, which we talk about all the time?
Yeah. I was 100% off purpose. I wasn't aligned with what I really wanted and what I valued and what I know to be my gift to the world and what I can learn from the world and what I was doing in my everyday life. That's a wonderful way to put it.
Mm-hmm. And Tamara, you did mention that you put on your, you suited up in your Heisman uniform and ran. But can you tell us a little bit about what that felt like to all of a sudden have this realization that your ladder's on the wrong wall? Yeah, you've gotten to the top, but oh my gosh. I mean, what did that really feel like for you before we go off and what is your purpose?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's one that a lot of us ask ourselves when we get to whatever that rung is on the ladder. What am I going to, you know, if I jump, how is that going to feel? Because that's really what holds us back, I think. At the end of the day is, you know, that fear of jumping and not having a parachute to kind of glide us gently down to the right place. And I kind of equate it to bungee jumping. I don't know if anyone has ever done the bungee jumping out there. But, you know, you stand up on the ledge, right? They're suiting you up. You can't feel your legs. It is sheer terror for about 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And then they say count to three and then jump. Now, I jumped on two because the idea of waiting to three just
take. Oh, that's funny.
They said one, two, and I just went for it. But the minute you let go, there's an unbelievable, this is what I felt, an unbelievable sense of freedom, freedom of thought, freedom of action, freedom for me to really realize, wait a minute, what am I good at? What do I have passion about? But I needed to jump off the ledge and get through that fear first before I could get to the freedom. And I think we just have to embrace the fear a little bit and say, that's part of it, and that's okay. And I felt it for those 2 seconds, but the minute I let go, it was, I mean, really, it was just free-flowing. It was amazing.
And you've never looked back and regretted it?
Never, no. And, you know, there are hard days and there are great days. But at the end of the night, I sleep well because I know every day I'm putting 100% forward. I really do kind of go to bed at night now thinking, oh, I have lived life to the fullest today.
Mm.
And that's it's a powerful feeling to go to sleep with and to wake up with every morning.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. Well, I'm sure Beth will probably want to ask you some questions around that too. But I'm wondering if we could just jump right in at this point to just talk about how does one develop, strengthen the imaginative mind? I've heard you say it's a lot like going to the gym. So what can we do? What's it like?
Yeah. And the gym is so funny because people either kind of want to walk away when I say that because the idea of, you know, an exercise routine is like, oh, my gosh. But, you know, that's another story, I suppose, for all of us. Yeah, you know, it really is. The thing that we do to ourselves is we say, okay, my creativity is going to be in point in time because I, you know, am involved in a brainstorm at work or I've got to think differently in this one moment. And we go to think differently and we lock up. And we do that because we haven't given our imaginative spirit the fuel and the nutrition it needs. And that's where I equate it to going to the gym. And whether you do 10 minutes at the gym or 3 hours at the gym, whatever works for you, if we gave our imaginative mind 10 minutes of fuel and exercise a day, it would be so strong. It would be the biggest bicep muscle you've ever seen in your life. We'd have like Popeye arms kind of coming out of our brains because we gave it so much fuel and exercise, you know? And it's simple. It's little things like doodling, like asking yourself different questions, like veering off your normal path or playing like what do these two things have in common, two random things like, I don't know, a piece of lettuce and the moon, you know, whatever it is. Those little things add up, and our imaginative mind will reward us. If we do that every single day, our imaginative mind will be available to us anytime we want it. Like, how cool is that? Anytime. You want to be innovative, imaginative, creative, any time of the day. It's like spontaneous creativity whenever you want it.
It's Beth. Tomorrow, this is reminding me that the imagination is so powerful that they've done studies that show that you know, between control groups and experimental groups, people who imagined, for example, practicing the piano or practicing basketball or tightening their muscles or whatever it was, they had the same or better results, or the same results, I forget which, as the group that was actually practicing.
Yeah.
And they've done this in a number of different studies. So the imagination is so powerful that it can actually, you know, affect our reality, you know, our performance, our bodies, you know, our lives. So talk about exercise.
Athletes are a great example, right? Don't they visualize they visualize their plays, they visualize their performance, they visualize the touchdown, the basket, you know, cutting through the ribbon, you know, whatever it is. It's the same thing. And, you know, yeah, and we think about knowledge, and we go, oh, that's a fact. And I can understand that fact because I can see it, I can hold it, it's kind of tangible. But, you know, facts and knowledge, they're wonderful things, but they really confirm where we are today. And the imagination is what really takes us to the further. It's, you know, it's like when we're driving, we have to kind of imagine that curve is going to take us and the road is there.
Uh-huh,
it's little simple things, and it's so easy for us to kind of, you know, drive with only the rearview mirror to guide us, just kind of looking in the past, but it's the imagination, as you said, it can drive results in the future having done it.
It can. I can imagine, I have tried this, I can imagine as I walk down the street that my belly is flatter. And what happens? What happens? What happens is my muscles in my belly automatically tighten. And if I keep doing that, you know what? My belly is going to be flatter.
It's fascinating and amazing, and it's a shame, you know, and this is why I'm kind of out shouting in the world, because I know, we all know, right, the three of us know, and the listeners know, we have it in us, we just don't use it, and it's why I actually created this line of creativities, the t-shirt, Jory, that you're wearing, is because it's a wonderful super cape and reminder that, hey, I am a creative person, and here is my armor to prove it.
Oh, armor. Oh, that's what I'll have to think about whenever I wear this t-shirt. I'm putting my armor on, my creativity.
Exactly.
Superpowers.
You know, sometimes we just need that little boost and reminder. And, you know, I've got my big creative rings. I'm wearing a big, you know, black and gold ring right now because that's my armor. Like, I'm a creative person. And the t-shirts do that universally for all of us. Like, hey, I'm a creative person. I'm proving it. Here it is. I'm wearing it on my sleeve, literally.
Mm. So what is the value in being creative?
Isn't that a great question?
Why would somebody want to be creative?
Yeah. You know, it's such a wonderful thing. And I think you started to touch on it with this, you know, the great results that you get from visualization, from imagining things happening the way you want to happen. But there are some tremendous results. And it's really, you know, proven in research. And in a lot of studies, both, you know, academic and in the professional world, there are a couple big things that I think are really important. One is people who use their imaginative side adapt better to change, which I think right now, given the shifting world that we live in and the speed of change, is incredibly important. I mean, it's much less stressful to be able to adapt better to change. It gives you more solutions to adapt to the change. So adapting better to change is a big part of it. Seeing and creating more ideas and opportunities. You know, don't we all want to go through life without those blinders on and seeing opportunities where others see blank spaces? That's a huge, whether it's personal or professional, it's a huge benefit out of unleashing this creative side. Doing more with less, huge one. Improved problem solving. You know, as we were talking about with the you know, there are the studies out there that people who engaged in creative activities prior to problem solving skills actually, or challenges, sorry, do better than those that don't. You know, have more fun and joy in life. And creativity adds so much more, you know, in the moment presence. It kind of goes back to play. When we play, we lose sense of time. We don't care what others think of us. We do silly things like hop on one foot and do cartwheels and make silly faces. And we're okay with that. And, you know, the creativity allows us to do it, allows us to be more present and to get more joy in life. And it allows us to work smart versus hard, and to dream big. I mean, dreaming big, I think, is what gives us a lot of purpose and a lot of hope in our daily lives, regardless of what's going on. And the imagination is the catalyst for big, big dreams. And I want us all to have big dreams. I think we all deserve that.
Mm-hmm. Well, so then these would be the kinds of things that would happen when our imagination and innovative spirits, as you say, are thriving, right? Is there anything else? Have you covered them all? Is there anything else we should add?
Well, I think those are really the big ones, and how we adapt those into our lives varies. You know, for some people it's about, you know, working smart versus hard. And, you know, if one more person tells me I need to be more productive and add another to-do to my list, I'm going to just shove them in a corner. Because really, what I want is to be more productive and prioritize. Right? I don't need to do more. I need to get more quality stuff done. You know, it's a killer for me, and I want to stretch my comfort zone in a really, in a way that's right for me. And that's another one. You know, I think when we're being more imaginative and more creative and more innovative, in fact, I had a really interesting conversation this morning with someone who said, we need our teams to think more innovatively so that they're willing to take more risks. And when smart risk happens, great, big, amazing things happen in our lives. But we need to be willing to take those risks, and imagination allows us to get there without feeling like it's a risk.
Well, you mentioned a creativity killer, so I'm wondering if you can say what are the facts about creativity and versus the myths and maybe the creativity killers. Can you address any of that and what we can do about them?
Yeah, you know, remind me next time. I have this great speech about innovation, fact or fiction, bingo. It's so funny because I love the myths and facts around innovation and creativity. And I'd say the biggest myth out there, and tell me what you choose. I'd love to hear your feedback on this one. But the myth, the thing that I hear is, oh, I'm not creative. I'm not a designer. I can't draw. I can't sing. I can't play the piano. And I think that's a myth. That's an output of creativity, and it's a wonderful one. But that doesn't, in my world, and what I believe and what I see, that doesn't define creativity. Creativity is about thinking differently and thinking outside of this box and shifting what the box even looks like. But I think the myth is you kind of have to be this uber funky, you know, designer to be classified as a creative person. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm not a designer, and I can barely draw a stick figure.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
you know what occurs.
I think that's a big one.
Yeah. What occurs to me on that is that we all think about things differently naturally. So naturally, we all have our own perspective on things and our own take on it. It's maybe over when we override that and think that we have to think like everybody else that we lose our imagination and our creativity. I think naturally, we absolutely have different perspectives. We have to.
Mm-hmm. And we should, right? And that's the trusting your gut, you know, that both of you mentioned in the beginning, too. And when we look at some of the great entrepreneurs of our time and some of the people who really kind of thrive in life, don't they always do the opposite of what everybody else does? Mm-hmm. Don't they shake it up a little bit and say, I'm not going to go by the status quo? And, you know, that's a big hindrance to it is, you know, it's all that head trash and all those kind of things we think that we should do. I always joke and say the rules are just somebody else's way of doing things. It's just tradition. Most of the time, rules are not actually how we should think about things in the future. And if we just kind of bent the rules a little bit, or maybe we wrote them in pencil and erased part of it and reworked the rule, we could think a little bit differently. And, you know, the status quo thing is a huge, I think, creativity killer out there. And, you know, we all have those yes but people around us. Do you have those in your life?
Anytime
you have an idea, they go, good, you know, but that will work because, but the hole in that idea is, you know, they're the biggest creativity killers out there. And, you know, you said in the beginning the show is about also being surrounded by people, being supported by people, and trying to make a meaningful difference. And those are the yes and people in our lives. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that, you know, allow us to dream. Yeah, they collaborate with us, and they cross-pollinate ideas and knowledge. And, you know, I love those yes and people because they really let you go and, you know, let your mind journey to new places. And they encourage creativity. And, you know, one of the exercises I do in one of my workshops, which I love, is I'll take people to a Starbucks or, you know, some cafe, and I'll have them draw a stranger and then show them that drawing.
Whoa.
And, right? It's the fear that goes into that action is tremendous for everybody. I see the transformation. It starts out with huge kind of fear and anticipation and real hesitation. And then they do it. And these people are not artists, so they're like me. They can't draw a stick figure. And they get, you know, and I don't give them artist tools. Just here's a piece of paper and a pencil. Draw. Mm-hmm. And go show it to that stranger. And what ends up happening is that we find that fear of judgment from somebody else is actually our own head trash. What most of the time happens is that, you know, I show it to you, Beth, as the stranger, and you go, how fun, good for you, and then the conversation launches. And they don't care because it was about the process and the conversation. And, you know, we have that fear on us of judgment, and there's this myth that if I come up with something creative, I'm going to get judged. But it's a myth. It's not most of the time the case. And you know what? Those yes butters, we just don't have to talk to them.
Okay. So you have found that there's definitely this thought out there that creativity will bring judgment unless, you know, we're already an established artist, a musician or dancer mm-hmm. or something that we consider traditionally safe to be creative in. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the fear we put on ourselves.
Yeah.
That's going to be the case, you know, unless we're already kind of our title has a creative, you know, catch to it,
mm-hmm,
whatever that
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
But most often it's actually not the case. And if we get our toes a little bit wet in that creativity and kind of say, I have a different way of looking at this, you know, I encourage all of us, next time we're at lunch and some, you know, we're talking about an idea, an opinion, I don't care if it's politics or the neighborhood or work, to say, I might look at this a little differently and see what happens. You'll find that, maybe there's some resistance. Oftentimes it's just a conversation. But, you know, it's a ripple effect. Once one person thinks differently, other people will follow suit. It's just kind of funny, right, because that makes it status quo in a ironic
Then you just have to change your direction again. Well, these T-shirts are amazing. So I know
Thank you.
Of the reasons you do that is to just get some nice creative conversation going, right? How does that work?
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine.
Well, if you go onto the website, there's four different T-shirts, the Doodle Me, Veer Off, What Do You See, and Things Sideways, and they're all kind of funky and interesting, and they kind of force you to go, and kind of, tilt your head a little bit. And, I wear them all the time, of course.
Say what your website is in case people who are online can look at it now.
Oh, of course. It's imaginables.com, so it's imaginibles.com.
And go to shop.
And there's a shop. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a shop in there. So go to shop, S-H-O-P-P-E, and you'll see the creativities, as we call them, T-shirts. And,
of course you had to spell shop differently, too.
Right. I like the old school shop,
yeah.
The old kind of, cotton candy shops on the street corner. I like that feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God forbid I do anything normal.
Right,
my poor children.
Right.
I feel sorry for my kids some days. They're like, really? Can't we just have a normal day, Mom?
So tell us about these conversations. How do they? What happens? People come up to you in the grocery store, or what happens?
Oh, they'll come up everywhere. It's so fun. I love it. And, I'll take the What Do You See shirt. It's a bunch of different circles with different
mm-hmm.
designs. And one of them
looks like
an ice cream cone to me.
Uh-huh.
Looks like a bird to others on the second level on the far right, if I'm looking at you.
Yep.
In the middle. Yeah. So let me ask, what do you see in that one?
All right. Yeah, I could see that. I could see there's an ice cream cone with a cherry on top. I could also see
mm-hmm.
it as a bird's head with an eye and a beak.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly what happens in a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
People will say, they'll look at it and I'll ask them, well, what do you see in this one? Oh, I see a person with really big sunglasses on. No, wait, I see a solar system. Hold on. And suddenly, you're transforming yourself. You're wearing your super cape of imagination, and you're touching somebody else as well.
I can't wait to wear my
realizing it.
Super cape, my armor, and go to Kroger grocery store later today.
It's so fun. And the veer off one I was wearing one day, and someone came up to me and said, well, where are you going?
Oh, where are you veering off
to? Anywhere I want to go. Where are you going? Yeah. They looked at it and they said, I think if I were to veer off, I would go join the circus. And I said, well, why don't you take a class on, circus performing? I know they have it. And they looked at me like, oh, my gosh, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the extent of our conversation.
Mm. Yeah, but you planted seeds.
Yeah. Exactly. It's seeds of imagination all over. You get to do it for yourself, and you get to do it for someone else, which is kind of nice.
How fun. What a great way to go through your day. So a lot of this, it sounds like, is stretching our comfort zones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of stretching them. I mean, sometimes, I guess, did you have to step I don't even know if you were in your comfort zone when you were at the top of that corporate ladder. You were probably already out of your comfort zone. You were just acting as if you were in your comfort zone or something, right?
Exactly. I was pretending with my three-piece suit to be in a comfort zone that did not exist for me
right.
at all. And I like to think of it as stretching versus stepping out and stepping in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just for me and a lot of what I see in other people is it's not about doing something that makes you uncomfortable and then stepping back into what's comfortable.
Mm.
It's about this ever-expanding yoga mat that just keeps getting bigger and bigger. So your comfort zone just keeps getting – it's growing.
Right.
It's like a buffet of everything you want to eat because you are expanding your comfort zone versus kind of this – I think it's a little scary. You step out, you've done it, and then you step back into your comfort zone. I want my comfort zone to be so big that everything in life ends up in that comfort zone. I'm comfortable. I mean, I love ambiguous situations. For me, that's – I think the best place to be. And in fact, high routine, I think, actually is a lot harder for me than, you know, having a kind of ambiguity and some challenge in my day. But that's because my comfort zone has gotten wider and wider. And every time we do something new and outside of our comfort zone, whether that's, you know, giving a presentation at work, having that conversation you don't want to have with a loved one, or bungee jumping, whatever it is, isn't it nice to think, oh, okay, or go into it thinking, all right, if I do this, I'll have an even bigger comfort zone.
I'll have
more strength behind me. And that's how I like to think of it.
That's cool. Well, can you give us another example maybe of what you've done, a situation that for you would be stretching? I mean, right now I'm envisioning your comfort zone being really, really big, which is great. But what might be something that might cause you to stretch it even farther out there?
Yeah, you know, there's so many things. I think I stretch it every single day. And, you know, sometimes it's about reaching out to people that I don't know. It's a little bit out of my comfort zone. You know, that cold call is scary.
Yeah.
You know, the other day, my son asked me to, you know, help him with his math homework. I'm horrible at math.
Mm-hmm.
That was really stretching my comfort zone. And I had to really kind of get over my fear to help him because, I mean, he's 5. It couldn't be that hard, right? But it's not my strength. And I had to think about that before I helped him. But, you know, it's not what I'm used to doing. It's not my strength. You know, innovation and imagination, I can talk, obviously, all day long on. But then you get me to, you know, get into math and figures and facts, and I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, the other day I received a call about speaking to a group of engineers. And I thought, oh, my gosh, they're all PhDs. I have no, you know, no right talking to people. They're way smarter than me. This is my head trash going on because we all have it.
Yeah.
And when I got to the, you know, actual speaking engagement, it really stretched my comfort zone to be up there in front of these people. And once I really realized that, hold on, I have value and they have value, we're bringing those two together to cross over and make a new sweet spot, I was able to do it. But, wow, that stretched my comfort zone.
Well, last week on our show, Barbara Stanley's quote was, her own quote, go where you fear, and that's how you grow. That seems very much in line with what you're saying.
Yeah, it is, because that fear, it's the bungee jumping. It really, it's a couple seconds. And then you hit freedom and confidence and a sense of curiosity and discovery. And those, at the end of the day, I think they override the fear, those 2 seconds. A fear, and it's those 2 seconds that hold us back. You know, we let 2 seconds hold us back when we could have 100 seconds of freedom and discovery.
Yeah. And the fear is often just the brain, literally the brain's response to something that's different.
Yeah,
it doesn't necessarily mean it's dangerous. It just means, oops, different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I get flutters every time I go on a new radio show or every time I meet new people, and, you know, that's my 2 seconds, and I give myself those 2 seconds, I honor it, but then I look for the 100 seconds in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I have training in Toastmasters, and I'm just thinking about how they say expect the butterflies before you get ready to stand up and give a speech or something, that's fine. But you just want to get them flying in the same direction. I thought that was
because the part of the brain that recognizes change will give us a certain reaction, and we may feel sort of stress or fear in our bodies, but it's really the meaning that we make of it, the story we put to it, that gets us really scared. For the brain or for reality, it's really just different. It's not the story. It's just our story.
I love that's what you make of it. I think you're so right about that, and that's such a wonderful, you know, way to say it. And I think for a lot of us out there, you talked about meaningful difference. It's that 2 seconds of fear that holds us back from living that passion or from, you know, giving our gift out into the world.
Yes.
And if we could just get over those 2 seconds and get to the 100 seconds, you know, the discovery and the freedom and the you know, confidence that comes along with it, think of all the great gifts. You know, you could just see it's like this big aura coming through, all these great gifts coming out into the world because we stopped holding ourselves back.
Mm-hmm.
So true. Well, we definitely need to talk about one of your big dreams, and that's that big, Dream Big Promise. That's the name of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is amazing. Mm-hmm. So tell us more about that. You know, what is it? How do people sign up? I mean, this is incredible. And this was you stretching your comfort zone, stepping out there, and then creating something totally amazing. So can you tell us about that, please?
Yeah, and thank you for that. I mean, it's so wonderful to hear other people really love it as much as I do. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
The Dream Big Promise, you know, when I've traveled a lot. I'm the mother of, you know, 2 young boys. I, you know, live in my community, in my world. And, you know, when I launched Imaginables, this business, a couple years ago, and after getting out of corporate America, I realized how important it was for me to give back into this world, and that if we all did that easily, you know, the world would be a much better place. We all know that, I think, intellectually in our brains. But I wanted giving to be really a part of the core of my business structure, not just a corporate marketing campaign on the side. And I wanted it to be something that happened every single day seamlessly in my business and in my life and how I operated. And that's where the Dream Big Promise come from. And it's my personal promise and the business promise to always partner with innovative products and services that are doing good in the world, no matter what is going on. So for every product, you know, every speaking, everything, it is infused into all of that. And our focus right now is on water because, as you know, most of you probably know, we're in a huge water crisis across the globe, and we have millions of people who do not have access to clean water. Most of those are women and children. And the idea of women and children having to spend 8 hours a day just trying to find clean water versus nurturing their children, kids going to school, that's what's being sacrificed because, you know, these women and children have to focus on just finding a glass of clean water for their family. And we partnered with a company, our product called Life Straw. Life Straw is this award-winning, innovative, portable water filter, and it literally looks like a big blue straw. A child, a woman can wear it around their necks. They can go to the source, a river that would technically be contaminated. They can drink from it and get clean water. So that child can now go to school. That mom can now start a business in her village, focus on raising her family, things that we really take for granted. I think in our world, they can now do because of Life Straw. It's one simple product, and our goal is actually to amass enough Life Straws to actually go down to one village and really affect change in the entire village. And we have that kind of, you know, that's our prize. And it's the thing that I love about it is I think it allows us as individuals to be selfish and selfless all at the same time.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with those two kind of combining. And let me kind of talk a little bit about what that means because it probably sounds kind of cryptic. But for us, for Imaginables, for any of the creativities that you buy, we donate a Life Straw. So you get to wear the super cool, awesome, what do you see, veer off, you know, whatever it is, T-shirt, and a woman or child in this village will get a Life Straw. So it's a way for you to transform yourself and transform the world, which is a very imaginative kind of dream big thought, all at the same time. Because I think that, you know, when I look around at my friends, and I have totally been in this bucket, I so badly wanted to do something big and to make change, but who has the time? You know, we got to focus on keeping our own jobs right now and feeding our own families too. So I said, you know what, we can do this. If every time someone buys a product from us, we donate a Life Straw, not a percentage, not a portion, but a Life Straw. We buy a Life Straw for every product someone buys from us, basically. Then we can all affect this greater change together. So you get to wear your imaginative super cape, or you get to get your daily dose of imagination with our deck of cards, and the Life Straw is donated. We had a woman actually buy a couple T-shirts and a couple decks of cards for her and some friends. I think it was like 12 products total. 12 Life Straws are being donated to this village because of that woman. And she, in the same time, gets to up her imaginative quotient too.
Right. What a great gift-giving idea. You give somebody a gift, and that gift is giving a gift. I think that's a great idea. Holidays approach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's why on the card that comes with a T-shirt, Jory, if you saw on one side, it says, you know, thank you, a life straw was donated. So
right.
you get to wear the T-shirt, and a life straw goes to a village.
Awesome. Right. That is so good. How did you, have you identified a particular village that you're helping?
We're working. Our goal is to get amass 3,000 life straws, and we just want to make sure it's the right one. We're working with a nonprofit to make sure
I see.
We get it right, because we want to be very intentional about this.
Excellent. And how did this idea come to you?
You know, I think like a lot of ideas, they come really randomly in disparate dots that I have to pull together, which is the work side of it. There are some people out there blazing paths on what it means to be a socially responsible company. And at the same time I was looking at that, I was thumbing through a book of the pictures that I had from a trip to Peru that we took up and down the Amazon River.
Mm.
And that at the same time came out as this National Geographic magazine on the crisis, or water crisis on this globe. And I don't know, all those dots, I don't even know how to describe it. All those dots came together at the same time.
Mm-hmm,
and it was fate, it was the universe, whatever you want to call it. I went online looking for innovative water filtration systems.
Wow.
And Life Straw popped up. And this company does amazing things across the globe. They're all about, these kind of in dire kind of situations and countries. And they have a lot of products. But Life Straw just, it was there. It was like, poof. I don't even know how to say it. Just voila. And it was, and that's what seeing and creating ideas and opportunities is about. It's about being able to pull these wet molds of clay and turn them into something. Because all these different dots, don't you find that? Life presents you all these different points of information and opportunities, and it's our job to go, oh my gosh, I see how this all fits together. And that's the power of the imagination.
That is tremendous. So how would you describe your life purpose, Tamara? Is that, have you thought about that much? Are you acting on feeling and creativity?
That is such a big question.
I know.
It's funny. I know. I love it. Woo. Like, I feel like I need a moment of silence around the question.
It's sacred.
It's like, it's funny. I think I just drive forward on intuition, but if I were to articulate my intuition, I think it's out there to give everyone, I think of it as a rainstorm. If everyone had one more drop of imagination in their lives, we would create a thunderstorm of imagination and creativity. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately what that does is make us all happier and more successful in life, however you want to define success. So I don't need one person to be a thunder shower. I want everyone to have a couple more raindrops in their life.
Oh, and imagine what the world looks like after a rainstorm.
Oh, with a rainbow.
And everything just looks new. It's
I can smell the fresh grass right now. Yeah. I love that smell.
So dreaming big is definitely that just totally enthralls you and excites you, and you want to help other people dream big. And you found that as you start doing that yourself and with other people, that there's this spontaneity and flow and alignment that comes. You mentioned just searching on the web and then all of a sudden finding Life's Draw, which seems to fit so perfectly. Have you found that synchronicity and flow in other situations as you're dreaming big?
Yeah, I think first of all, we all have the right to dream big. I don't think any of us should ignore that right. And I think it feeds our soul and gives us purpose. And, I don't know, do you have those days where you have that big dream, that big thought, and you just smile? You just can't help yourself. And when I thought about imaginable, I was like, oh, yes. Like, everything felt right, in my body, in my mind. Like, it just kind of all came together in my life. Suddenly those opportunities to make it happen were right in front of me. And, they were probably there before. I just didn't see them until that dream big kind of, presented itself. But it all aligns in life, work, love, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It comes together when you give yourself permission to dream.
And would you say giving yourself permission to dream brings about other things? Like, you talk a lot about joy and laughter, and do you think that's connected to the permission to dream?
I do. I think dreaming feeds our soul. I really do. And I think that when we give ourselves permission to dream, all those other things fall into place, and, we have more energy to, you know, love life. I think we love life even more. I think that laughter and that joy and that smile, I mean, we've all seen those those people who are kind of attached to some kind of dream, whatever it is. They're happy people. They've got momentum, and they've got the wind at their backs, and I think that's what Dreaming Big does for us. I think it gives us that wind at our backs to push us forward in that direction, and that lifts us up. You know, suddenly we're standing tall, we're confident, and I think that's what dreaming does for us.
Beth, I am intentionally being quiet here. You, my dream coach person, what comments do you have on
that? Well, I'll tell you.
We all just need a moment.
Yeah, take a moment.
The aha that I'm really getting from myself is that this is also connected with purpose in the way I think about it. Because if I think about, we all have our own unique perspective. We are our own unique individuals, and when we come from that place, we have creativity and imagination. And just as we're afraid to step out in the world and be our purposeful selves, we're afraid to step out and express something that's uniquely us. It's all the same thing. There's that fear of, oh, if I come out as who I really am and what I really think and what I really feel is possible, you know, will I be judged? Or, you know, what will happen if I'm truly thinking and being, you know, and expressing who I am? So I'm just thinking about how this is all so related to really allowing ourselves to be the person that we were really designed to be in the world.
And, you know, that expression is so powerful. When we finally unleash that into the world, oh, it feels so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I am that person in the meeting that says, you know, I see that a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And good for her, good for me. Because I'm just being who I am.
Mm-hmm. It's so easy to get straitjacketed, especially as you go about in a traditional jobs. You know, we're fortunate now, all three of us, because we're not in traditional jobs. We've stepped out. But as you're just doing that day-to-day grind, it's sometimes it's hard. And I think this is wonderful, Tamara, what you're doing. And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions for people who may feel this real yearning to reinvent themselves and how that can be so powerful. I'm wondering if you could speak to that.
Yeah, I think now is the best time to reinvent yourself. I mean, the ground has shifted. The old rules no longer apply. The old paths, you know, to get to the next level in life have shifted. So we have a huge opportunity in front of us as individuals to reinvent ourselves. And actually, I have a webinar coming up in about a month on reinvent yourself and the power of that and the tools and the ideas and the inspirations for that, because now is the time. And if not now, really, when? You know, your job is no longer the same. The world that we're living in is no longer the same. The competition and the technology is driving us so much forward. It's fascinating what we can do now. And, you know, we were just having this conversation about Skype interviews before this call. I mean, what we can do right now, we couldn't have done even a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And reinventing ourselves gives us power. It gives us confidence. It lets us walk through the world with purpose. And get off. I love what you said, the straitjacket. That's fantastic. I want us to get off that straitjacket and reinvent ourselves. And so I have a webinar coming up specifically for that, because I've gotten a lot of requests for, hey, you know, I know you work a lot with individuals and with corporations, but can you help us reinvent ourselves? Because we want to. We want to go through life with passion and purpose. And I think ultimately that reinvention is not just, oh, look at me, I'm shifting gears, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for those that want it, it's really about, how do I go from, you know, my creativity stuffed in a drawer and my straitjacket life to who I really want to be? And that's
how can people find out more about that webinar?
Great question. They can go to the website, imaginable.com.
Okay.
And there should be a link on there. And if not, I'll make sure to get it up, because it's on my shop, imaginables.com, which is kind of the storefront. So it'll be up there. And if they can't find it for some reason, they can email me. And it happens in about a 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, good. And just email you.
Yeah, and I've got a couple dates.
Or do you want to give us the email address now?
Yeah, I'll give you my email address, Tamara, T-A-M-A-R-A, @imaginables.com, and it's on the website as well, but just in case someone's like, I'm not really sure where to go, but if you go to the shop, it'll take you to the link.
Well, Tamara, thank you, and I want to ask you one more question before we go into the coaching suggestion part of this, and that would be, I've heard you say before that you think being creative and imaginative, that somehow it reminds you of boomerang. So what do you mean by that? What's the boomerang?
Oh, I love the boomerang. Yeah. I'm so glad you asked about that. To me, the boomerang is about throwing it out there, letting it go out into the world, so expressing yourself, letting it touch a lot of different people and experiences along the way. The beauty is it always comes back to you bigger and stronger. It makes a big arc of cross-pollination with all these other ideas and people. But then it comes back to you even bigger and brighter. And that's why I think of it more as a boomerang than, you know, just kind of throwing the ball out there. It's not a one-way tennis match. If you're brave enough, and we all have it in us, to throw that boomerang out there into the world, it's going to arc back to us with even more imagination and creativity and ideas. And that's why, to me, the creativity is a little bit of a boomerang.
I like it. Of course, I'm going to be envisioning this boomerang with, like, wings on it or something, because I don't want to be knocked over by a wooden boomerang. But if it's one that's just kind of happily coming
We can all create our own boomerangs, whatever they look like. My boomerang has double-sided tape because it's picking up all kinds of things as it travels to bring it back to me.
I like it.
A good one, Beth.
Ooh, that's good. I think mine will have Velcro on it.
Yeah.
I like the wings. It's funny. I never really thought of it that way, but it is, you know, everybody has their own unique boomerang. And what's key in there is get it out there, and you'll be surprised at how it always comes back to you even more powerful and better.
Well, I can tell you that this radio show is like that. You know, this whole idea that came to me of interviewing fascinating people who are living purposefully and passionately has certainly blessed Beth and me big time. So that's a perfect example of it.
Well, Tamara, the radio show that you two do is wonderful, and I think it gives so much back to the world. So thank you for that.
Aw, we hope so, right, Beth?
Absolutely.
Well, speaking of that each week, as you know, tomorrow we offer one or more coaching suggestions to help our listeners experience and integrate the information that our guests have discussed with us on the show. So, Tamara, it's your turn. Would you please share what your coaching suggestion is today?
Ooh, okay, so my coaching tip for the day is to engage in bite-sized creativity because it will offer big results back. And what I mean by that is go out and find that yes and person and have just 10 minutes of creative conversation. Go down those crazy rabbit holes. Don't worry about where you go or where you're trying to head. Don't worry about the result. Excuse me. Just go down those rabbit holes.
Okay, so find a yes and person instead of a no but. And just go down whatever rabbit hole might be. Okay.
Yeah, even if it's only for 10 minutes. You know, one of the things I find that really helps people unleash their creative side is in those rabbit holes, literally take, you know, your iPhone or stopwatch, whatever you have, and put it on 10 minutes. And for 10 minutes, have an uber creative conversation. And don't hold yourself back. Go down all those rabbit holes. You never know where it will take you. But for 10 minutes, if you put the clock on, it's kind of interesting. I think I find that people are – it's easier for them. You know, I'm sure you found this. It's just easier for them to say, okay, I've got 10 minutes of being, you know, creative and going down the rabbit holes. And then slowly but surely, those 10 minutes turns into 20, a day, and a lifetime.
Well, that sounds fun. I'm already imagining which people I might want to do this with. And quite frankly, my first choice is my rather bizarre daughter, who's a midshipman at the Naval Academy. But, oh, my gosh, she is just she's hysterical. I mean, she'll send me IM chats that I have tears rolling down my eyes because they're just so bizarre and random and creative. She's very creative.
I love it.
Yep. So I think I'm going to have to engage her. So
I think
you never know. 10 minutes on the clock.
Go ahead, Beth.
I think I'd like to do this with my granddaughter who's six.
Yes.
Because I'm imagining what it's like sometimes when we, you know, when we're lying in bed at night, we're going to go to sleep and we create this story. And it's just a very imaginative story and it can go anywhere. So I think I'd really have a lot of fun doing that with her.
Well, I bet another game you'd like to play with her. We don't have much time tomorrow, so I don't know if you can do this quickly. But this creative cootie catcher, I mean, what the heck is that?
Is that something she can do? Do you remember
that? Daughter?
Yes, you can. I love the cootie catcher. Do you remember those?
No. I remember you can catch
them.
You're always
afraid
we catch cooties, but huh?
The cootie catcher is a way to have a little bit of an element of surprise. And on my website, if you go to the blog and type in creative cootie catcher, it'll actually pop up on how to make one. And there's a little thing that you used to play with your girlfriends, and you'd go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, and then there'd be a little surprise on the inside.
Oh, I remember those.
You'll like know exactly what I'm talking about.
Like with origami?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like origami, and it's a little folded, and you
play
with
friends,
and on the inside it would say silly things.
Yeah.
And those are great because on the inside you can do little things like do one thing different in your routine today. You know, you can add, there's room for 8 different creative inspirations.
Yeah, yep.
I just made one the other day for my granddaughter.
Are you serious? I have not thought about that forever. That's Well, anyway,
they're so fun. I have one on my desk that I use all the time before meetings and before I have to kind of sit down and write a blog or, you know, make a phone call. And it just, it unleashes creativity. It's fun. It reminds you of childhood, which can't be bad. And,
exactly.
You know, it just unleashes a sense of play.
Oh, so cool. All right. Well, let me jump in. This, gosh, I'm having to get structured now here. I'm sorry. But the live show is going to end in 4 minutes, but the archive will keep going. But we still need to start winding this down. As much fun as this is, we might just have to take it offline and continue our conversation. But Beth, at this point, and tomorrow we will come back to you. Beth, would you be sweet and just tell people how we want them to participate in Heart and Soul?
I will be very quick. Really, we would love you to co-create this show with us. We would love to co-create it with you. So use your imagination. Send us your ideas. Send us your suggestions for topics or speakers, any comments, any experiences you had with the coaching suggestions. Write to Jory@womenfindpurpose.com or me, Beth Scanzani, that's S-C-A-N-Z-A-N-I, at AOL.com. We would absolutely love to hear from you.
Great. I appreciate that. And then just a quick touch base before we give our listeners a preview of next week's show. Beth, just wondering if there's anything particularly purposeful, it's hard to say, that you'd like to share about what's going on in your life.
I think just quickly what has been coming up for me to share while we've been talking today is recently I picked up a wonderful book called The Promise of Energy Psychology, and it talks about EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. And I won't go into what that is in a moment, but it's something that it's a process that can help people calm anxiety or shift their beliefs, or there are lots of different kinds of things it can be used for, create goals. But the thing about it is that I was reading about it, and I actually found myself practicing it with some people sort of spontaneously in certain situations. And what was great about that is that as an adult, I always feel like I have to be perfect. I'd have to be certified. I'd have to be trained. I'd have to have tried, you know, all those things. I have to be perfect in something before I would go out and try it with people. And what I found was I was just doing this, and it was really working really well. And I remembered that that's the girl I was when I was in college. When I was in college, I would just go try something. You know, talk about imagination and just being open. I would just imagine that I could do it. And I would just go try it, and often I was really good at it, or at least I learned something from it. And as an adult, I realized how those layers of, you can't do it until you're perfect. You can't do it until you really, you know, have the qualifications, have impeded my creativity and some of the things that I might otherwise do. So I think it's related, and it was a big aha for me. So I've been stopping myself from doing things that I could be very good at and actually help other people with by thinking I have to be perfect first.
Boy, that can really hold people back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tomorrow, is there anything in addition to this fabulous radio show that you have found particularly purposeful in your week?
Yeah, you know, there's so much. And right now I'm actually reading the third of the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo novels.
Oh.
I don't know if you've heard about these, but they're amazing books. They've completely sucked me in. I'm on the third one.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, the reason I bring this up and what came to my head as you were talking is I'm working really hard and I'm being really purposeful about expanding my own realm. You know, we get so sucked into our work, and I love my work. It's my passion, but we all need to give our brains, you know, a bit of a mental break sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of trying to walk through this world with a few more mental breaks in my life. You know, I started taking my dog for a walk at like 5:30 in the morning because I'm crazy and awake anyway. But that morning walk has just given me so much mental freedom. And I find I have a more productive day later. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm trying to go to bed without watching TV and reading this book instead. So So I'm really right now trying to be much more purposeful about that kind of me, you know, and that mental kind of break from the world and the connectivity that we all have.
Mm-hmm.
I think it helps us in life to do that and give it, you know, it's like a little spa date with ourselves.
Ooh, that's nice. Very good.
Yeah, I think we should go up and get a pedicure later.
Yeah. Would be fun if we could all do it together with Colorado, Massachusetts,
that's right.
Virginia. That would be interesting.
Yeah, you know, we'll pick somewhere in the middle.
Well, our live show has ended. However, we're still streaming for the archive. So we will just continue in just a few more minutes, everybody. Appreciate your patience. I'll just quickly say my purposeful thing for today, in addition to the radio interview, of course, is I'm going to a LinkedIn networking event. It's our first live one in the Lynchburg, Virginia area. And I'm so tempted to not wear what I was planning to wear and wear your T-shirt instead. But at any
rate, nice, I like it.
I am really tempted. And just get people talking. Say, hey, what is that?
I love it.
Just listen to our interview. You know what it's all about. But
okay.
That'll be fun.
It's a great icebreaker.
It is. It is. So I will at least set the clock, go for 10 minutes, and just see how creative I can get talking with somebody. I sure hope I can get some interesting
awesome.
So thank you for those ideas. Well, anyway, just want to mention that Beth and I work with people who long to know who they're called to be and what specific work they're designed to do. And we'd love to hear from you if you'd like to learn more about our services. Understand that we do mostly work with individuals and groups by telephone, so it doesn't matter at all where you're from. Just like this interview today, we're all connected here, even though we're in different parts of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Beth, would you be so kind as to say a word about our next edition of Heart and Soul?
Yes, next week, next Wednesday, we're going to speak with Erin Sarika Delaney. And Erin, the title of the episode next week is going to be True Purpose, Where Ego Meets the Soul, which will be really interesting. And Erin's going to talk to us about the differences between ego and soul and how to get the two to work together in a collaborative way so that we can really manifest our true life purpose. So imagine ego and soul partnering to work together. She's going to talk to us about how we can do that. And Erin is a masterful dream coach, certified dream coach, and also true purpose coach. And her purpose is to guide individuals and groups to find detailed clarity about their true purpose in life and help them build their dreams on the foundation of that purpose. Erin's actually been described, Erin is a recent author of a book, and called The Incredible Life. And she's been described as a powerful analyst of the soul whose lighthearted yet focused guidance helps people transform the blocks that hold them back from living their true purpose. So join us next week to hear from Erin.
Yeah, Erin's lovely. That'll be great.
She is.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Beth, and thank you, Tamara. Everybody, you've been listening to Heart and
thank
Soul.
Thank you.
Our fair's been fun.
Well, good. Then we met our goal. Fun,
yeah.
Easy, informative, and generous.
And purposeful. So back to my spiel. You've been listening to Heart and Soul with Jory Fisher, a life, career, and true purpose coach from Lynchburg, Virginia, with Beth Scanzani, a life, leadership, true purpose, and dream coach from Rockport, Massachusetts, and shall we call you chief imaginator, Tamara Kleinberg from Denver, Colorado. So tomorrow, we'd love to give a quote or two to our listeners each week. Would you please do the honors?
Yeah, so my quote this week will be, living life without imagination is like driving with only the rearview mirror to guide you.
Ooh. Living life without imagination is like driving with only rearview mirror behind
the rear view
mirror to guide you.
Mm-hmm. To guide you.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Ooh. Is that from you or from someone else?
That's for me.
Lovely. How creative.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we've all heard all those other imagination quotes. They're out there. People are using but, you know, to me, it's about life, right, at the end of the day, and living life to the fullest, and we gotta move that rearview mirror to the side and really look ahead. Look at the future.
Okay, good, 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 good. Excellent. Appreciate that. Well, thank you. Thank you so very much. And would you please state again one more time how people can get in touch with you and how they can find out more about the work you do.
Yeah, so it's Imaginibles, imaginibles.com. And that's, you know, all my other contact information. Excuse me, I'm like, you know, choking up at the end here. It's been so powerful.
You know, we have that effect on people.
But, you know, all my contact information is on there if they want to do speaking or training, you know, at an association or organization or conference or whatever. And all my speaking stuff is on there as well, and the products are on there too. So imaginables.com is the best way to find me.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening, who were listening live and now on the recording, for being with us today. I'd like to invite you again to visit my website at womenfindpurpose.com. And to email me at Jory, J-O-R-Y, at womenfindpurpose.com, or Beth at Bescanzani, S-C-A-N-Z-A-N-I, at AOL.com, if you'd like to share any questions, ideas, or comments, or anything your imagination comes up with. That would be great. And please let us know if you'd like to receive my weekly announcements of our upcoming shows. So, Beth and Tamara, feel free to say goodbye to our listeners, and we'll sign off.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thanks, Tamara. Thanks so much. And everybody, buy a life straw.
Yeah,
that's great. I love it.
Well, until next week, then, God bless everybody. May God keep you, guide you, and inspire you to be all you're designed to be. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.